This is the KWFM Reunion Special, a look back at the radio station, the people, and the music. Here's Janie Snyder to tell us about a uniquely Tucson experience in the Rita Wash.
So of course, the thing I remember most are the kite flying contests. I thought they were a blast, especially the very first one where we really didn't know what we were doing. They did get better and better, but that was something. We used to get so many people. All the local groups would play. You'd build your own kite and then try to fly it. Sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. And usually it was down in the Arroyo. And it was so great to see the whole community come out and everyone having fun together. And it usually was a perfect day. And then we'd have to walk around and judge the best kites, which was sort of hard to do. But it was great. It was a great community feeling, lots of great music.
I think the kite flying contest, I think most people came because it was a big party. There was a Circle K up across the street that sold more beer in one day than they had in the last year. And then I remember one year we showed up, and I guess it rained in the mountains before, and there was water in the wash, and it turned into this, and then the front page of the paper was Beach Party. But it was mostly, I think it was just the precursor for what they did in the parks at Reed Park and whatnot. You've got bands, you've got music, you've got people under the umbrella of the radio station doing something, and it was a party, and people came out.
Mornings are interesting times. They can either be lovely beginnings to satisfying days, or they can shake you out of your slumber with total disregard for your head.
Wake up! This is Gettable Bobby on a magnificent Monday.
Well, we at KWFM believe in easing you into the day, and to do it, our own Lady Jane.
My sweet Lady Jane.
Jane Snyder, 6 till 10, mornings over KWFM.
I was scared stiff. My very first interview was Jesse Colin Young, and I was so frightened that he said to me, don't be nervous. It was such a thrill to see real people that I admired standing right next to me in the studio. And my favorite of all interviews and bands and anything that way that happened to me at KWFM was Nazareth. Do you guys remember when Nazareth came to town? We just had a blast. Those guys were so great. And they were nice people, and we just partied. And they were all in the studio at one point or another. I kept in touch with Manny Charlton for years after that. That was a real pinnacle of meeting people for me.
3:31 now. This is KWFM, 92.9 Tucson, Arizona. Skaggs Drug Center is now featuring Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, all their great albums together, plus their solo LPs. Now you can buy Crosby, Stills, and Nash for only $2.99. Deja Vu, plus these solo albums by David Crosby, Graham Nash, Stephen Stills, too, for $3.69. And Four-Way Street, the two-record live set by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young for only $6.59. Be sure to pick up all these outstanding Atlantic records now by this super group, all at your nearby Skaggs Drug Center.
Before he was Bruce, he was just Bruce Springsteen. Before he was big, Jim Brady got to drive him around in his truck.
Okay. Talking a little bit about some of the artists, obviously, that came through the station, and people that would come down and do interviews with us. One of my earliest recollections, and this should be fairly significant, was interviewing Bruce Springsteen. And this was before Bruce Springsteen was Bruce Springsteen with a big quotation marks. As a matter of fact, this was right in between the Wild, the Innocent, and the E Street Shuffle, and that very long period of time, which I think was about a year, where he was having some legal problems with the record label. And then when Born to Run came out, Born to Run obviously being the huge breakthrough album that Bruce had. So, as a matter of fact, some friends of mine promoted Bruce Springsteen, and it was Bruce Springsteen, and I can't remember who else was on the bill.
Tim Weisberg,
John Hammond. See, you remember. So this must have been about 1974, 75, somewhere in that period of time. And Bruce was booked into the music hall, not even the arena. He was booked into the music hall. So my friends had asked me if we would do an interview with him. So they asked me to go over and pick him up. Now, remember, Bruce was not big, huge star. So I had this 19, 59 Chevy pickup truck, which had seats that had the springs literally sticking through the seats. And so I go over and pick up Bruce and bring him over. And this was actually, this was when we were still on the second floor of the lawyer's title building. So it was very, very dark. There were no windows. I remember bringing him into the studio, doing an interview. He never even took off of his sunglasses. The poignant thing that I do remember is that, I mean, we were playing the heck out of Springsteen. We were really playing a lot of Rosalita and Kitty's Back and all of those really big songs from that album. But he was not certainly the huge star that he is today, or even was another year or two after that. So I'm driving him back down Church Avenue, and really we finished the interview, and I'm taking him back over to the venue, to the music hall, and I go, God, Bruce, man, we really love you. You are the greatest thing on the planet. And I was being laudatory about how wonderful he was. And I remember him looking over at me and going, well, you know, I'm really not that big a deal, so it's not that big a thing. Now, the interesting thing was, remember, the Community Center Music Hall holds 2,500 people. That night, for me, was wonderful because I had done this for my friends that were the promoters of the show. I got front row center seats, which I had never had before, and was treated to the greatest show I have ever seen in my life as far as a rock concert. Unfortunately, they sold a total of 1,300 tickets.
That many.
So less than half of the music hall, and lost money, and one of the three promoters bailed on the show. So that was that. And 2 years later, Springsteen came to town after Born to Run and sold out the arena.
Right.
So, I mean, just, you know, just the contrast of, you know, the fact that he would even come over and do the interview with us. But it was great. And that's how I met Bruce Springsteen.
And I remember because he was supposed to show up before and I was supposed to interview, but I had to go because of the show that night. But I remember that was when David Sanchez was in the band. The first song was Incident on 57th Street. And I remember being about 6 inches off the seat for the whole rest of the show. I still remember that as being one of the greatest shows
I ever saw. It was an absolutely amazing show. And I mean, 1,300 seats, you know, out of 2,500 for Bruce Springsteen. What do you want from
life? Jimmy Carter and President Ford both say they're going to win Tuesday, and both men are campaigning hard. Mr. Ford's been in Texas, where he said his momentum will carry him to victory. He's now on his way to Philadelphia. And Carter's in New Orleans, where ABC's Joe Templeton watched a French Quarter parade.
Into the 70s, the bicentennial and an election year arrive, and so does Jim Ray, who makes his way to Tucson and KWFM.
You know, when I came to the station in 76 and walked into the door and asked Alan, I said, well, what do you want me to play? And he turned around and we refer to it as the wall of music. And if my specs are right, the wall of music was four album racks that were 4 feet wide and 8 feet tall, because there was just about 2 inches from the top of the rack to the ceiling. And there was four of those, and then we had the current section. Oh, we love that current section. It was about 3 or 4 feet wide. And, you know, the format was play two or three an hour from those, right?
Current section.
Current section. Right. Two or three an hour from those buzz, and whatever else you want to play. And that was pretty much the format.
Yeah.
And we lived with it, and I think we made it work pretty good.
I can remember playing one afternoon, and that was on the second floor, playing Kenny Loggins and Jim Messina and segueing into Pharoah Sanders, which was and it kind of worked, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Number nine, number nine, number nine, number nine, number nine.
We loved our parties at KWFM. It's a beautiful day. Let's have a party. It's our birthday. We gotta have a party.
In 1979, we were looking for an event, and we came up with the idea of doing a birthday party. You know, we figured, well, we've been on the air for 9 years. Let's have a birthday party, and it's April. So we went out, and we had the Bob Meehan Band. We had Central Air, we had Street Pajama, and we had a band that I believe you were playing.
Tommy Tucker's band.
And the interesting thing about having this at Reed Park was Reed Park is a beautiful park, and it's got some room out there.
We went. And you didn't have to have permits in those days.
We didn't have to have a permit. All we had to do was go to the head of the Parks and Recreation Department and say we want to have a concert on Sunday, April 29th, April 22nd. And this is what it's going to be. It's going to be four local bands from Tucson. We're going to start at, say, 10 o'clock in the morning and go until 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And me and Lee Dombrowski, the general manager at the time, went to see the head of the Parks Commission. His name was Ronstadt. Familiar name in Tucson.
Yeah, old-time Tucson family. Jim
Ronstadt.
Yeah.
Right. So Jim Ronstadt asked us, how many people you think might show up to this event? And we looked at each other, and we did not have a clue. But we said about 1,000, 1,500. He said, okay, no problem. So this was being planned out for about a month. So for a month, we had four of Tucson's best bands, local bands, playing every night in bars and clubs all over town. And all they were talking about was April 22nd, the KWFM birthday party at Reed Park Band Shell. Well, we thought when we got there that we were pretty much in trouble because the driveways were parked. People couldn't get out of their driveway to go to church. People were bringing in kegs. They were bringing in these huge coolers. I mean, it was just all of a sudden a mass mountain of people started showing up. And Lee and I thought about it. We looked out and says, well, what do you think? We got maybe 10,000 people. And so, let's go with 10,000. Then we read the newspaper the next day, and the newspaper estimated it at somewhere between 14 and 25,000 people. Needless to say, did we clean up some garbage for days and days and days after that. And as a result of that, I really believe this was a big factor in that. We were playing some great music. We really had the pulse of the city where the music needed to be. We were breaking records. We were playing a lot of new music. And right after that, the Arbitron ratings came out, and we went to number one in the market. We went from number nothing to number one. Of course, everybody said it was a fluke, especially Ed Alexander, right?
Rolling Stone. Wanna see my picture on the cover. Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother. Yeah. Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Well, we didn't make the cover, but Tucson listeners did send in enough ballots to get KWFM voted in as one of 1979's top 10 rock stations in the nation. KWFM was part of a vibe that was Tucson, a vibe that was also felt in the excellent local music scene.
And we were certainly very unique. I think each of the freeform / progressive rock stations in that era were very unique in that not only were we playing the music that we wanted to hear, but we also included a lot of local artists as well that would not have gotten played anywhere else. The Bob Meehan's
band, right.
The Dusty Chaps, groups that really had something to do with our local culture. So, they eventually wound up getting national record deals. We kind of felt like, we'd brought them out.
Yeah, and people would play live on the air. I had a segment I think I did once a week where local singer-songwriters would come by. A guy who died recently, who was very well beloved in this town, Jerry Gumbleck, used mm-hmm. to come by quite frequently. And that kind of evolved into the studio concerts down at Lee First.
Right.
Where groups would come in and we'd broadcast live there. And who did we do, Jim?
Oh, we had Charlie Daniels. We had Ozark Mountain Daredevils. We had
Pure Prairie League. Tom Waits.
Richard Torrance.
Richard Torrance and Eureka. Right.
And
right.
There was a guy named Larry Raspberry in the High Steppers.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him? Larry Raspberry in the High Steppers. Remember the song Keep On Dancing?
Yeah, you bet.
He was the original singer of that song.
So. Jerry Riopelle.
What a great artist.
Yeah, you bet. A lot of people like that. And obviously, that was very unique.
The Dixie Dregs.
Oh, you like them. Right?
And Dixie Dregs.
Piano has been drinking. My nectar is asleep.
Jim Ray tells us about a memorable concert that almost landed at the Pima County Jail.
Alan did an interview with Tom Waits one time. And Tom was a pretty ruffled kind of guy. And Alan did the interview. And similar to your Bruce Springsteen story about the car, I was going to take Tom down to the night train for a concert that night. And he gets in my car, and it's a 1962 Volvo, and you can see the pavement through the floorboard. It's rusted out so bad. So he gets in the car, and he goes, "Like your car, man." So we go down 4th Avenue, and he wants to get a tie for the concert. He says, "Pull over here at the thrift store. I want to buy a tie." So we go up to the door, and just as we're about to go in the door, they close the door, put the close sign up, and it just really pisses him off. He starts beating and banging on the door. "Open up the door! Open up the door! I want to buy a tie! I want to buy a tie!" And he keeps on and keeps on and keeps on. And about that time, two of Tucson's finest blue and whites roll up. And I'm thinking, hey, I got this. You know, I'm Jim Ray. I can talk my way out of anything, right? So I've got Tom Waits. And I'm Jim Ray. I've got Tom Waits here. We're going to go over here to the night train and do a concert. The guy flatly said, "I don't give a rat's ass who you are. You and him get off the streets or you're both going to spend the night in the Pima County Jail." So I said, "Tom, get in the car. I'll bring you a tie. I'll find you a tie." I don't know if he ever got a tie or not, but the concert went on. It was great.
Gotta drive out. The boys have found out it's the end of the line, but it's martini time, so you head for the bar.
Yes, indeed, the old demon alcohol here on KWFM Tucson. Bob Bish leaving you with a set of tunes to get you primed up. Started out way back, about 35 minutes ago, Molly Hatchet and Whiskey Man from the brand new album. Lynyrd Skynyrd, Whiskey Rock and Rolla. REO Speedwagon with Whiskey Night. The Doors with Alabama Song. Charlie Daniels Band, Whiskey. George Thorogood taking a break for a bourbon, scotch, and a beer. And the last tune there, The Anonymous Alcoholic. Well, you're just in time for the classic album hour. My name's Dave LaRussa. Be with you up until 6
o'clock. KWFM DJs remember behind-the-scenes magic in choosing songs in the order of play that they say approach the level of cosmic experience.
The music. Let's go back to the music that we would play. And how important that music was when, you know, it wasn't just about playing songs. It was about putting themes together, thematic sets, and making sure that we had the right music, that the guitar solo on one matched the guitar solo on the other one, that if we're doing a song about the sunrise, we're doing a song about the sunset. All of that stuff seemed to make a lot of sense to a lot of people, not only us, but I believe it made a lot of sense to the listeners because we sure got a lot of requests for it.
Well, that was, I can remember at the time, I went into radio because I loved the music and whatnot, and I had a little bit of radio experience, so that helped. But the thing that I used to get off on every day was going in there and putting sets together and having one song end and the next one on the key. And you would sit in there and a record would be playing and you'd have this wall of records and you'd go run back and forth and you'd go, 30 seconds to go, the song's starting to fade. You say, "That would work," and you'd grab some Neil Young record and you'd cue it up, and with 2 seconds to go, you'd make the segue.
But we weren't selfish about it. I mean, if we came up with a great segue, we'd go, "Dude, you've got to try this.
You've got to try this." Oh, yeah.
And so we'd give the segue.
Those are the sports at KWFM, and who listens to the radio? Who listens to KWFM? You kidding me? You don't know? You don't have the foggiest idea? Firemen? Neurosurgeons? Come on, the guy on the street, the bum on the corner, the cop on the beat. You know that. Of course. The guy with varicose veins, teenagers in traction, an old lady with a walker, her husband's left her, not coming back, goodbye. You know, former sports greats listen to KWFM 50,000 one year, nothing the next year. That's who listens to the radio. Knuckleheads.
Any artist on tour in the 70s knew Tucson as a big target on the map. That's like frequent visitor ZZ Top. The bands made detours to get down with the crew of KWFM.
You know, that was one of the great things about KWFM. No artist that came to town didn't want to go on the air there. They wanted to be interviewed. If you're going to Tucson, you're going to be interviewed on KWFM. Alan did so many interviews. Alan used to have this little three-channel mixer. and he would mix down whoever was there. You know, I remember you had Jesse Colin Young up there one day.
Yeah, people would play on the air.
People would play on the air. Yeah. We were doing live studio concerts on the second floor in that little tiny building, and Alan had his little mixer, and it turned into the Lee Furs.
Live from Lee Furs.
Jim's microphones with tubes in them, though.
True story. Well, actually, and Jim Ray, I'm sure, can remember a number of stories regarding Billy Gibbons.
Billy Gibbons.
Of ZZ Top.
Billy Gibbons used to come to the radio station. He was our news director at that time. The girl doing the news decided that she was not going to be doing news anymore, that she was going to go on the road with Billy. So she gave up the illustrious news business and went on the road with Billy Gibbons. How about that, huh?
This is Julie.
So Billy used to come up to the station, and he'd take us all to breakfast at the C&M Cafe.
C&M Cafe?
I love that place.
The best huevos rancheros this side of Frank's.
Absolutely. And I always remember just how great of snakeskin boots that Billy always had. He was quite a guy.
He named the song after the KWFM patio, or the balcony, as we call it, called Party on the Patio. And that's supposedly a tune about KWFM. Experience.
Phone rarities at 298-5658.
Don't forget, we got requests all day today, so if you got something you want to hear, give us a call at 792-9292. Joe Cocker on KWFM.
Karen Stern joined the KWFM family in the late 70s. The station interviewed all of the big names in music in those days. But one day, Karen thought she had come face to face with her maker at the station.
In the presence of the
thing about KW that I absolutely loved was that whenever anyone came through town, they came to the station. I mean, they just hung out. They loved it, and they would stay, and you know, for a really long time. It wasn't like they were rushed from one place to another. Anyway, I was coming in for my shift, and I probably wasn't paying attention to what was going on that day. Shame on me. But there I was. I grabbed the doorknob to open into the air studio, to open the door, which pushed in, not pulled out. So I pushed in, and I opened the door, and there's a man standing there with very long brown hair. He had on like a white Indian cotton shirt, white tied long pants and sandals on. And my first thought was, oh my God, it's Jesus. So I got so scared, I slammed the door shut. And then I realized I just slammed the door on Graham Nash. So that was, I mean, I just remember that to this day. It was so absolutely funny and shocking to me. Stuff like that happened all the time there.
Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name?
We saw enthusiastic listeners in those days, and those of us lucky enough to work there loved KW just as much.
What the station meant to me at that time in my life was pretty much everything. It was so much more than a job. It was an amazing place to go every day and see people that you absolutely loved and you loved working with. It was music, and music was the biggest love of my life. And to go in there every day and to get to play what you wanted to play, yes, it was self-indulgent, but you had the job of putting something together that other people would like. And it was just so much fun, and it spoiled me, absolutely spoiled me for the following years of being in radio, because nothing else ever compared to that. And then, you know, my first experience living in Tucson, it was such a different place from growing up in the East Coast, and it was just so wonderful, magical, almost surreal.
Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1970s.
Here's a guy that knows how to tell a story. Monoxide, Chaz, Charles.
It's Charlie Morris. When I was a little kid, I can remember in the late 60s, I'd watch Walter Cronkite come on and do the body count from Vietnam, and then I'd crawl into bed and listen to Wolfman Jack on X-Rock, you know, mm-hmm. coming out of Juarez, I think, at the time. So all I wanted to be when I was growing up was a DJ. And my first radio job, I was 16. I was working at KAYN in Nogales. But the cool thing that everybody wanted was KWFM.
When we come back on the KWFM reunion special, Charlie will tell us how he finally got Alan Browning to give him a job.
Not a meaningless question.